Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
We're talking about how Wisconsin lawmakers and advocates are pushing for stricter drunken driving laws. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. One piece of legislation would require all OWI offenders, which stands for operating while intoxicated, to install these ignition interlock devices in their cars. The devices require the driver to pass a breath alcohol test before their vehicle will start. Do you have an ignition interlocking device in your car from driving under the influence? Do you think this will make a long-lasting difference, or are you just trying to get through it? Do you think that experiencing the reach of these devices to include first-time offenders is the right move here? We're at 800-642-1234. Democratic State Senator Chris Larson is from Milwaukee, representing the 7th Senate District. State Senator Larson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Always happy to be on.
So let's step back here for a moment. What's the current law in Wisconsin on penalizing drunken drivers? Where are we right now?
Right now, first offense is a fine. They range from $150 to $300. You may take an alcohol treatment course, and a 6 to 9 month suspension of driver's license is possible. Ignition interlock devices are only required for if you refuse a sobriety field test, if you are a repeat offender, and if you blow a blood alcohol level of 0.15 or greater. But right now, essentially, if you break that down, it's essentially a fine equivalent to a moving violation. Most people don't do time for their first offense, and it is the lowest penalty of any state in the nation for drunk driving.
What do you think needs to change here?
Well, I think it's time that we take drunk driving seriously in the state of Wisconsin. We unfortunately have a drinking and driving culture, and I think we can just move to just have a drinking and planning ahead culture by making sure that there is a real consequence if a person is pulled over for drunk driving. Anybody who is convicted, first offense, second offense, you will have an ignition interlock device installed on your vehicle for 1 year. And that will make sure that there is a real consequence associated with serious behavior.
So under your proposal, the threshold for getting this interlock device would be lower than the current legal limit for an OWI in Wisconsin?
No, it'd be the same. Anybody who's convicted of drunk driving, so 0.08 blood alcohol or higher, which is the state standard for driving under the influence.
Why are you looking to these interlock devices as the next step in addressing drunk driving?
Well, simply put, they work. There's 32 other states who have already done this, and what they're shown to do is reduce recidivism significantly. And that's because there's a real consequence, right? Any single time that person gets into their car for a year, they're going to have to blow sober or the car won't start. And not only that, but every other person who gets in the car with them will think twice about the next time they go out drinking and how they're going to get home so they don't have to have this on their vehicle. This reduces recidivism 67%. And even in Wisconsin, with its limited use, since 2006, interlocks have stopped over 300,000 attempts to drive drunk with a blood alcohol of 0.08 or greater, so over the legal limit. So 2 points, it stops drunk drivers from getting on the road, and it also changes behavior from people to drunk drive in the first place.
We're talking with State Senator Chris Larson, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 7th Senate District. You can join in. You have a line to the lawmaker at 800-642-1234. Were you ever affected by a drunk driver and think the zero tolerance is the right approach? What do you hope to see lawmakers do in this area of drunk driving? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Senator Larson, we've seen policy proposals come down the line to lawmakers over the sessions, over the years. Mm-hmm. Why is right now the right time to introduce this type of legislation?
Well, what's different now is this. I mean, this has been a serious problem for years. Wisconsin has some of the worst rates of drunk driving. But I think what's different is we actually have a governor this time around who has voiced support for actually acting on drunk driving first offenses. We have passed laws in the past. We have made some moves. Governor Walker signed making fourth offense a felony. But this is the first time we actually have a governor looking to sign and asking for legislation that will make first offense a real consequence. We've also seen a more drunk driving legislation introduced by more legislators on a bipartisan basis than I've seen in my 8 years in office. So there's five pieces, actually two were just introduced in the last week. So we're actually up to seven pieces of legislation circulating to tackle drunk driving. So it's getting to be bipartisan. It's getting to be past time that Wisconsin doesn't want to be the only state in the country where first offense is not a misdemeanor or higher.
So we're seeing traction in policymaking and legislation that is being put forth. What about advocates? What has the impact been from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, for instance?
I mean, we had a press conference yesterday, Kate, and just hearing the stories of neighbors who have been devastated by this. And because this is an issue I've been tackling, been hearing from folks for years, and it's frustrating because there are new advocates now that weren't there 4 or 5 years ago because they've been affected by this, because they've lost, in one case, a mother lost her only son. There's another one where on a recent trip, another mother lost her son to drunk driving, her first son. And these are people who are passionate about it. They are frustrated that the law hasn't changed. They're frustrated with the excuses. And they're acting. You know, they went door to door around the Capitol explaining why this is important and why this needs to get done. And frankly, when you weigh the impact of this against the excuses of why we haven't, it becomes pretty silly that we've waited this long. So I think that's going to, they're mad. And those who've been affected and those who've experienced this, them calling their legislators has been a game changer.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Pete joining us from Oconomowoc. Pete, hi.
Hi. Yeah, so I just wanted to chime in because the idea of putting IIDs in people's cars, I think it's a great idea. The only problem is that currently, if somebody needs an IID in their car or any vehicle they have in their name, the courts currently exempt people from having to have it in more than one vehicle. So they have access to a vehicle potentially at their homes oftentimes because they own more than one vehicle that doesn't have an IID in it. So it's kind of smoke and mirrors in that it, you know, the law sounds good, but really doesn't have the teeth that it was intended.
Well, let's get Senator Larson to respond to that. Is that perhaps a loophole here?
Sure. I'm glad you brought that up because that was a loophole that we did correct recently. So any vehicle that's operated by somebody who's under court order to have an ignition and interlock device must have it on every vehicle that they drive. The penalty for not having that, for circumventing using a different vehicle, and I'm sure people will try that, and the law is going to get them. The first one, the fine ranges from $150 to $600 and or 6 months confinement. And it goes up from there for second or higher offenses. So, and I would say that for those who may try to circumvent the process by blowing into it, running their car, that old thing, the technology has caught up. So they're not able to do that anymore. There's a blow when you start. There's a blow while you're driving at intermittent points. So they'll have to stay sober. And if they're not, the vehicle will start blinking, the hazard lights go on, and the horn starts sounding until they pull over.
Talking with Democratic State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee about legislation to expand the use of interlock devices on cars that prevent drunk driving from starting their ignition. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll hear your thoughts in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking about ignition interlock devices and OWI penalties in Wisconsin. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic lawmakers are proposing a bill that would require all first-time drunken drivers to use ignition interlock devices. Senator Chris Larson's bill would require judges to order first-timers to use ignition interlocks for a year, regardless of blood alcohol level. And the option of going into a sobriety program would be eliminated. Do you currently have an ignition interlocking device in your car from driving under the influence? Do you think it will make a long-lasting difference, or are you just trying to get through it? You have a line at 800-642-1234. State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Val joining us from Waukesha. Val, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My concern with this, and it's something that I've thought of for a long time, is helping more on the education side. I've never taken a breathalyzer and have only relied on how I feel after drinking to judge whether or not I should drive. I was wondering if anybody's ever proposed something like that the police would set up a breathalyzer station around bars, maybe downtown Milwaukee, that would have no repercussions for people who took it, but then people could see what their actual blood alcohol level was and make a better choice of, oh, that's how much I drank, this is how drunk I am, or to know that they shouldn't get in a car and drive.
Interesting. Senator Larson.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic idea. I mean, the ground rule of what a .08 means is about one drink an hour. And so if you've had that, if you haven't had the time to sober up, it's going to affect you. But yeah, there used to be programs where they'd go bar to bar and give people the idea of what it meant. And I'm sure that they should do that again. Unfortunately, in some cases, it led to abuse, right, of some people trying to see how high they could get it. So there is that problem associated with it, too. But, yeah, I think that would be a good idea. If it's administered by police, they'd probably be less likely to try and screw around with it.
Senator Larson, what does intoxicated driving look like in Wisconsin? What are the numbers here? What do we know?
Well, the last numbers we have for Wisconsin are 2017, 179 deaths in Wisconsin due to OWI crashes. We also had in that same year 6,151 total traffic accidents with alcohol being a factor, which is kind of a stunning total. This is on top of the overall numbers of what we have in terms of first-time offenders and repeat offenders topping over 10,000 across the state. So this is, this is nationwide the last year. For 2016, there was 10,497 deaths. So this is an impact. This is something that's affecting people, and these are all preventable deaths.
Let's go to Matt now, joining us from Menominee. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
So the reason I called in is I've got immediate family or close family that's been through the incidents and had OWIs or DWIs, was just tried in Dunn County and convicted of his 10th. And in that case, was given 4 years, which, according to everything I could find out, is the minimum for the 10th OWI. So I don't know if it is strictly a legislative issue or a judicial issue as well, which, I mean, is a compounding factor. We're not really using the laws we have to correct actions that people are taking with the laws.
Matt, thank you for bringing this up. What do we know, Senator Larson, how legislation works and parlays into what judges order in the judicial process?
Yeah, I mean, there is a formula that they work through, and we have tightened the laws to try and make sure that there is more severe penalties available for repeat offenders. In a lot of those cases, what you're dealing with is abuse, and people are much further down the road of abuse when they get to something as stunning as, a 10th offense. And if you back it up, if we're not shifting the culture early on, you're going to have a lot more of that. Right now, it's estimated that people have driven under the influence 80 times before they're pulled over that first time in Wisconsin. And so what that says is people are not taking the penalty associated with it seriously. And right now, when they get that first offense, because it's simply a ticket, doesn't require them to show up in court at all. They can just pay the fine. There's not necessarily that real consequence up front. And so people are on that path much earlier, and we have to circumvent that before they even get to that first offense.
I understand that these interlock devices can be expensive. There are installation fees, monthly fees, a removal fee, and that people who are at or below 150% of the federal poverty line are eligible to pay discounted fees. What is the process like there, especially for low-income people?
Yeah, so this would be for, I mean, you outlined it very well, Kate. So essentially the costs are $75 to $150 for installation, $60 to $90 for the monthly fee, and another $40 to $60 to remove it. And for those who have economic hardship and can prove that they're below 150% of the federal level of poverty, they would have it at half price. So they'd have a discounted fee that they would have to pay. And so all of this is paid for by those who are guilty, by those who are convicted guilty in this. So the cost to taxpayers of the installation, of the maintenance, is covered entirely by those who are convicted. So for those who are in economic hardship, yes, it could be a little bit more, but this is a way to make sure that there's a serious consequence associated with drunk driving. People shouldn't be drunk driving.
Talking with State Senator Chris Larson, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 7th Senate District. Let's go back to the phones now with Peter joining us from Madison. Peter, what are your thoughts here?
I don't think that first-time OWI should be a criminal offense. I think you run into situations where people are just barely over the legal limit and get pulled over for a broken taillight, and then they all of a sudden they have a criminal record now when they were otherwise a responsible driver. I think that the interlock device is a good idea. The only problem I see with the interlock device is the enforcement mechanism. It's very difficult to enforce. The person can drive a different vehicle. I think the better way to enforce that would be to impound the vehicle. And that if a person who has multiple DWIs is pulled over and their car does not have an interlock device to impound that vehicle, the overwhelming majority of the fatal accidents are caused by people who are habitual offenders who are perpetually driving drunk, and they're not really going to follow the laws when it comes to the interlock device.
Senator Larson, what about impounding vehicles?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, given the sheer numbers that we have at this point of people who are convicted of drunk driving, I've signed on to a bill to make first offense a misdemeanor. And I think that ignition interlock devices work in actually shifting people's behavior while still being able to carry on with their lives, right? Of still being able to get to work, of still being able to get to school. If you take away somebody's vehicle, you're taking away their livelihood. And while it may solve the immediate problem of not having that person drink and drive, you're creating a whole slew of problems because you're condemning a person to poverty or on the road to poverty, essentially. So I think this one, the IID for all offenses, all convictions, is to make sure that there is a consequence, that a person can still carry on with their life as they learn that drinking and driving is not something they will ever repeat. And anybody who gets in that car will also recognize that consequence, too. And as I mentioned earlier, Kate, there is that consequence for those who try and circumvent it. Sure, there's going to be those people. You get caught doing that, then yes, you are going to pay a higher fine, and you're probably going to go to jail.
So as you see some of these bills, this legislation coming out in regards to drunk driving, do you see compromise here between Democrats and Republicans? Are you willing to compromise on your legislation?
Yeah, actually we have. And I think that's the most comforting thing, Kate, is we had I've introduced this for 8 years, and this is the first year it's actually had bipartisan support. There are 5 bills that have already been introduced and are up in committees, available to be scheduled for public hearing. And of those 5, 4 of them have bipartisan support, which is pretty tremendous. And we had a press conference yesterday. It was, it was odd because it was the first, I think one of the first times I've been at a press conference where you had a mix of both Democrats and Republicans speaking, who normally we don't agree on a lot of issues on partisan lines, but this is one where
we have to get it done. You know, we have to get it done. It, you know, a drunk driver is going to affect a person, whether they're a Democrat or Republican. So we have to do something about this.
Really quick, as we wrap up here, there's some research out there that says once these interlock devices are removed, recidivism rates return back to where they were. Are there any steps that should be taken after the year is up and the interlock comes off?
Yeah, I haven't seen that. What I've seen is that it reduces recidivism 67%. And so I'm not sure of the long term, but I know that there's putting these in there does have that impact of making sure that people are going to have to shift their behavior. And of course, if there is somebody who repeats, the penalties get more severe as they repeat penalties.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime. Thank you, Kate.
Democratic State Senator Chris Larson is from Milwaukee, representing the 7th Senate District. We've been talking about his bill that would require all first-time drunk drivers to use ignition interlock devices. Coming up, it's news, then sound off. Should college student athletes be paid? And how do you quantify the true worth of a college sports team? We're at 800-642-1234. Stay with us. It's March Madness on the Ideas Network.